It's a vintage kind of day, and On the Fly starts at vintage every year. 1 o'clock, you can catch us here, and don't be late because we're always on time, right, Ray?
We are.
Ray Johnson, the executive or one of the directors of the Vintage Aircraft Association. We're lucky to have him co-hosting with us today, and he's put together some pretty cool guests today for us to talk to, and one of them is Doug Rosendahl. And Doug, you have an airplane here called Mr. Mulligan. Let's talk about it for a minute.
Well, Mr. Mulligan is a, I believe, a pretty historic airplane. My airplane is a replica of a DJ-6, and Benny Howard built one DJ-6 for the sole purpose of winning the Bendix Trophy. And it was on its way to the West Coast to start that race in 34. They were up at 21,000 feet with no oxygen, and they became hypoxic, so much so that they lost control of the airplane. They kind of come to on the way down and were able to land it, but wrecked it in the process, so it wasn't able to race in 34. In 35, they went back, and they raced from Oakland, California to Cleveland, Ohio, nonstop.
I bet they didn't go to 21,000 feet.
They did, but I believe they had oxygen that time. And won the Bendix Trophy by about 23 seconds, beating out Roscoe Turner.
Oh, wow.
So imagine flying all the way across the country in a race and winning by 23 seconds. But what's unique about Mr. Mulligan, at that time, racers were these radical airplanes that were barely flyable, open cockpit, you know. And here's an airplane that's modern and streamlined. It's got a cabin. It looks like a business airplane. And ultimately, it was really transformational, and it became the roots of the DGA 15 Howard that was so popular in the 40s and 50s.
Sure. Now, Mr. Mulligan, from what I understand, has some really special design features. The one you have, does it have the fluid that goes through the struts for cooling and all that? Like,
no, that's a different airplane. Jim Yonkin built this replica, and it has an oil cooler behind the engine, but the engine's so close to the firewall, there was no way to duct air there in a full-size duct. So there's two ducts. In the front half of the oil cooler, the air goes one way. In the back half, it goes the other way. Jim Yonkin was the patriarch of the Yonkin family of Bobby and Matt and Amanda. And, he built this airplane from drawings and this replica from drawings and pictures.
Wow.
I mean, sketches and pictures. There were no plans. And it's an incredibly accurate replica. Harold Newman flew it before he passed away and said it flew exactly like the original. So we're just really honored to keep that airplane out on the road. It had been sitting in a museum for many, many years. And when Jim passed away, I had been flying it some with Jim, and the family wanted me to be the custodian for a while, so I bought it and to put a lot of effort into it and got an air show waiver in it, and now doing air shows in it, and really taking that airplane out so that people can see it like they deserve.
Are you flying here? Okay. But the airplane's here. Tell the listeners where it is.
Well, right now it's on Boeing Plaza, okay. And tonight after the air show, we'll be moving it right down here to Vintage in front of Vintage in Review in the Red Barn.
Oh, perfect.
I got a question, Doug. We always heard DGA. Where did the DGA come from?
Well, that's a damn good airplane.
Is that true?
That's absolutely a true statement.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
It's a remarkable airplane. It's again at reasonable power settings, 26 inches and 1900 RPMs, which, and I can lean it down at 8,000 feet below 30 gallons an hour, and it'll still run 200 knots all day long very comfortably. So it's, at that time, 200 knots was a big threshold.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go higher or push it harder, yeah, it still is. That's correct. If you go higher and push it harder, it will go faster. And it picks, when you put the nose down, I fly a lot of World War II fighters. And when you put the nose down, it picks up speed incredibly faster than a Mustang. Making passes in an air show, I limit myself to 250 mile an hour. And I have to often pull the power back to stay below 250.
Remind the listeners, what's the horsepower in Mr.
It's got a 600-horse Pratt & Whitney 1340, same engine you'd find on a T6, basically on half as much airplane and a 31-foot wing. So it's an exciting airplane to fly. It's not hard to fly. It's very, has excellent handling characteristics. It's a little loose in the tail. It's got a very small vertical stabilizer and a short body. So you fly the rudder all the time, especially in turbulence. But otherwise, it's a very honest little intimidating, but certainly not hard to fly.
Doug, you know, what year did all this happen?
So, Jim, the story is, and I believe it because I knew Jim very well, that, you know, Jim was an icon in aviation and built a lot of, invented a lot of things, like the first HSI for general aviation airplanes, the NSD-360, and he's the inventor of the Century Series autopilots. And so he was a revolutionary, iconic designer of lots of things in aviation. And then he retired from that career and started building some golden. They built a Travel Air Mystery Ship replica and had that airplane up here. And the story is there were some adult beverages involved. And somebody said to Jim, why don't you build a Mr. Mulligan? Well, once it was laid down that was going to happen, there was no backing down. And he and his brother Bob spent over 8,000 hours building this airplane. And again, it's just some incredible engineering in it. And it's a very honest, very comfortable cross-country cruising airplane.
Very cool. So,
what's interesting is from the Wright brothers until Mr. Mulligan, incredible advances.
Yes. Well,
and
it
was all done with slide rules.
Yes, and air racing was really the epitome of aviation at that time because these airplanes were faster than what the military had at that time. And that's where all the technology for the military came from, was from Golden Age air racing.
Yeah. Doug, thanks so much for joining us
on
the radio
me.
And sharing a little bit about one of the higher horsepower models of a vintage airplane. And we're going to transition from a 600 horsepower engine to an A40, which is 37 horsepower. So we're going from one spectrum to the other. Doug, thanks for sharing that with us. And now Mark Stewart's going to step in. And we're going to talk about the exact opposite of the spectrum, and that was one of the first conventional aircraft engines, I'll say, just because of it's horizontally opposed. And
what's interesting is how they got these airplanes here. Do you have 10 out there right now?
We have 10 on the field, yep.
They have 10 A-40s.
A-40 powered.
Not really 40 horsepower. And his airplane has a special propeller on it. But what I want him to tell us a little bit, they flew these airplanes from Pennsylvania in here.
Yes, from just outside Philadelphia. We flew over 800 miles. We averaged about 52 knots ground speed, which is pretty good for 37 horsepower. It took us 3 days and 12.2 hours to get here. But we had great weather. We only got thunderstorms one afternoon, and the rest of it was smooth sailing.
And no smoke.
And no smoke.
And waited until you were here already.
That's good, because we were worried about the smoke.
Yeah.
I know we're limited on time, but besides the low power, you have an unusual propeller on your airplane.
I do. I have what is called an Everol propeller, and a very ingenious guy decided that he could make a variable pitch wooden propeller. Now think about that for a second. Wooden propellers are fixed pitch.
Right.
And he said, no, I can make a wooden propeller variable pitch, and he did. He devised an axle inside the hub that allows the propeller to rotate as it moves forward and backwards along the longitudinal axis of the plane. It actually rotates. So when it goes all the way forward, it is in low pitch for climb, and as it retreats rearward, it goes to high pitch for cruise.
But it's only one blade.
It's only one blade. The reason
is hard to imagine.
If you think about it, if the pitch on the right side went up, the pitch on the left side would go down. So you had to cut that blade off in order to make this propeller work.
With some serious counterweight.
With some serious counterweight. And yeah. One of the big drawbacks to the propeller was it's always out of balance. Okay, it vibrates like hell.
That, the crankshafts must love that.
The crankshaft's okay with it. What's not okay with it is the front oil seal.
Oh.
It wears out real quick, and oil goes all over the airplane.
Wow.
So
we're going to have that airplane right here on the plaza tomorrow morning, and he's going to run the airplane. We're going to demonstrate how that
does. It really doesn't just fly around and shake like crazy?
The single-blade propeller flies just like a two-blade propeller. You can't tell the difference.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Mark, thanks for joining us on EA Radio, and thanks for – that's an adventure, bringing that airplane all the way from Pennsylvania. And you have, about nine other E2 Cubs and Taylor Cubs and J2 Cubs.
We have four.
Tell us where we're at.
Oh, we're in row 62 and 63 of Vintage Parking. We have four E2 Cubs, the very first airplanes to be called a Cub. We have four J2 Cubs. We have a Heath Parasol and a Taylor Craft Model A. Taylor built 606 Model A Taylor Crafts in 1936 and 1937. Piper built over 1,800 airplanes with the A40 engine through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
So think about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks
Ray, we're
going
to take another break, and then we have one more segment of On the Fly, and we're looking forward to talking to Cam Blazer about this cool Nicholas Beasley over here. So,
okay.
Jay Munchie, we're on the fly at Vintage. Come on down. Check it out. Definitely while you're here at the show. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to EA Radio.